So what's the difference between a werewolf and a supernatural shape changer anyway? Hello and welcome to Lucky Number 13 of the Echoes from the Rifts podcast. As always, I'm Chris Perrin, and I am he who sometimes, occasionally, when he gets around to it, talks about the wide world of Palladium books. Yeah, I know, it's been a little while since the last time I recorded one of these podcasts, and I really apologize about that. I've actually kind of been on a gamer hiatus really since Gen Con. A lot of my friends I know sort of have the, post-Gen Con depression or whatever, and I think it kind of bit me this year. And the podcast suffered, and for that I apologize. But I really appreciate everyone who asked if I'd gotten hit by a bus or, you know, made sure I was still alive, who tried to give me a call, and I'm hoping that everyone will come back and listen. I promise to have good interviews and good information, and really I want to make this a podcast everyone can be excited about again. And besides, I can't let Matthew Day have all the fun, right? I got to do something. So, really, just want to kind of get things back on track today. And the one thing that taking this hiatus has shown me, and one thing that I've really come to appreciate about Palladium books is, you know, really I haven't been on the forums that much in a couple months, but when I was gone, Palladium pretty much stayed the same. I mean, new products came out, but, you know, Kevin's still there working his rear end off, and it sounds like Jason and everyone else is too, and it's kind of nice to know that I can take a step back and Palladium will still be there for me. And I think that's a tribute to everyone who's out there working and to all of you that are continuing to buy books, even though the economy is not perfect. We're still all in this thing together and we're still working towards making sure that Palladium is as great as it can be. And, you know, hopefully everyone's having a good time while we're doing it. So really today, in the show, we're going to have the normal news segment. We'll have an interview, and then I'll have a few closing thoughts. But before I get into the news, I want to say that even though the show's been on hiatus, I'm still looking for a few things. I would really like to have a nice logo that I can use for the show. Being absolutely artistically challenged, I would love it if somebody out there would say, this is something I've drawn, you can use it, or just draw up something cool, even if it's just Echoes from the Rifts, a nice, cool, scripty-looking thing, that would be fantastic. Though, if I could get, like, a dead boy, you know, with a microphone, that'd be fantastic. Or, you know, dragon talking on a cell phone. I don't know, something cool. That's kind of what I'm looking for. I'd still be interested in anyone's submissions. I can be a voice talent if you've got a script you want read or if you want to record a piece, which somebody actually did, and that will be featured on the next show. But I want more. I guess I'm greedy like that. And then also, one of the things that somebody suggested on the forums, and I think it's a fantastic idea, is I want to start hearing your reviews of books. So if you've read through the anthology and you've got a particular short story that you would like to talk about, or if you really like one of the Palladium books, grab a microphone, record a 3 to 4 minute explanation of what you did and did not like about it, and send it my way. I would be more than happy to play it in the show. So, if you're artistically inclined, I would love a logo. Always looking for audio fiction and book reviews. Now we can get into the news. So here's what's going on in the world of Palladium books. It is only February, but already everyone's talking about the open house, which Open House 09 is fantastic. I'm really excited that Palladium's brought it back. I will be going there. I'm going to call Wayne on Monday and tell him to please scratch the tentative from my name, because there's no way in heck that I'm not going to be there. So I'll probably also come up a few days early and volunteer, because I'm crazy like that. I figure if I help them move, I can certainly help them set up. And I think I'm going to run a couple games this year. You know, Robotech has always been my game, so I'm definitely going to throw something out there, probably from the Master Saga, because that's where my hearts are always lied. And then I'll probably bring the Greatness League back for Game of Heroes Unlimited. 2 years ago, I ran a campaign called the Greatness League, which is where I went through and found the 8 worst powers I could possibly find and created a really cheap superhero team out of it. And it was one of the greatest games I've ever played. And I really attribute that to my players, because they were more than happy to delve into it and act just as silly as the scenario needed to be. So I want to do that again, and I'm hoping those guys will come back to the open house and play with me. So that's the open house. Other exciting news, Robotech is in Barnes & Noble. Please go out and buy a copy from Barnes & Noble just to prove out that Palladium is a viable thing that should be stocking the shelves and be right there right next to Dungeons & Dragons. Actually bought my Rift's Ultimate Edition out of Barnes & Noble, but I will get a second copy of Shadow Chronicles, actually, because I'm hoping we'll have the non-manga size. Alright, guys, sorry. Manga-sized volume of the book, and if they've got any of the Macross or Master Saga at the bookstore, I'm also going to buy that. Because, like I said, I really want Barnes & Noble to carry the product on their shelves, because the more people who see it, the more people are going to buy it, and the better off Palladium will be. Dieval's coming out. You know, I interviewed Carl sometime last year, August, I think, and we talked about Dieval, and it sounded awesome then, and it sounds awesome now. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm also really excited that Palladium's made the decision to go digital. There are some out-of-print books that I was not able to collect, and I think that getting them in digital format will be fantastic. Plus, I think it is a great avenue for publishing things all on their own. So I'm really hoping that the proof of concept gets proved out with some of these older books, because printing is hugely expensive. And I know a lot of friends who make really decent role-playing game money, at least, just printing things in PDF form. I actually have plans for writing some materials and putting them out in PDF form. Not for Palladium, obviously, because there's copyright issues, and you know, I kind of want to stay on Kevin's good side, but I've got some other ideas for things I'd like to put out there. So I think that's really a great step in the right direction. And then I've seen a lot of talk about this letter-writing campaign, and I can tell you that right after I get off the show, I'm going to go make my hotel reservations, and then right after that, I'm writing my letter. I encourage everyone, if you haven't decided that you're going to send a letter in, to take the 2 minutes it will take to print off the letter to Jerry Bruckheimer, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and mail it. I hope everyone else does. And I would also encourage everyone out there to follow the script that is on the forums. I know there were some people that were talking about wanting to write their own letters, and you know, if you can do that and be nice about it, it's okay. But the best thing to do is just take the letter that was already written, put it into an envelope, sign it, put it into an envelope, send it off. The worst thing that we can do is be mean, be cruel, use foul language, and make it look like we're just a pack of, you know, rabid people, because that's not the type of person that Jerry Bruckheimer is going to want to associate with. So we want to show that we can be passionate about the thing we love without getting overly emotional. So that's all I want to say about that. That's the news. There's obviously a lot going on. For the Chris Talks About Things segment of the Echoes from the Rift podcast, I wanted to just spend a little bit of time talking about starting a campaign. And I think I've done this before, but I'm about ready to start 2 separate Rift campaigns. And everyone always asks, okay, there's so much stuff, where do I start? And I think it's a really fantastic question. And what I've always thought to myself was, wouldn't it be nice if there was a Rift Adventure Starter Kit? You know, if I could go pay, I don't know, $20-25 and get like, okay, here's the starter thing. Here's where you want to start your game. And then I got to thinking about it, and I realized just what a bad idea that would truly be. I mean, Rift is a huge, fertile ground for the imagination, right? I mean, you've got magic, you've got technology, you've got big robots, you've got small robots, you have an AI that's trying to get everybody. You've got gargoyles fighting people and robots. I mean, dragons and dimensional beings and vampires and all this stuff. And why would I want to limit my players to saying, this is the way you're going to play Risk. This is the place we're going to start. And I think I'm onto something here, because every group is going to want something different. I started a Risk campaign. There was a play-by-post where everyone wanted to play Coalition Soldiers. If I was going to start my ideal group, I would play Scholars and Mages that were traveling with Erin Tarn, because she's always been the most fascinating character in all of Risk to me. Obviously, two different groups wanting two different things. And if I poll each one of you, my listeners, you probably have a different place that you want to start, or different things that you find interesting about Risk. So for me to want a book that would tell me how to start my campaign doesn't make a lot of sense. And I realize that now, and kind of wish that I would have come to this idea sooner. So what I've decided to do now is, when I start a campaign, I'm going to talk to everyone in the group and kind of find out what gets their juices flowing. You know, what makes them excited about role-playing in general? You know, what type of genres do they like? What kind of, you know, tactics do they want? Do they want a game that's a little bit more socially oriented, or do they just want to blow stuff up, or do they want horror, or, you know, whodunit, you know, whatever. And I know that I can take the collection of Risk books that I have, which I don't own them all, I'll admit it, but I know that I can go into my library and I can find a collection of books that are going to allow me to meet those people's needs. So that was my great brainstorm for the day. Hopefully that makes some amount of sense and maybe can help you answer that question for the next time. So, you know, when somebody says, well, where do I start with a Risk game? Where do, you know, the answer is, where do you want me to start? What do you like to see? And then I'll find the place to start the game. So, anyway, I want everyone to sit back and relax, because now we are going to hear an interview with Mr. Mark Oberle, who is one of the writers on the upcoming Nightbane supplement, which I did check and is coming, will be coming soon. So sit back, relax, enjoy. I'll be back after the interview.
Welcome back to the Echoes from the Risk podcast. This is Chris, and I'm here with
Mark Oberle, otherwise known as War Wolf. I guess you were wanting to know what I was working on, so actually I've had a couple pieces in the Rifters.
One.
Rifter 39, the first, second swimsuit edition. I had one piece in there that was assigned to me. It was my first thing that was assigned to me as a freelance writer, I guess. The newest swimsuit edition, I have a couple pieces in. The new Chi-Town Anthologies book, I have a piece in there. And then I am one of the co-writers of the new Nightbane source book that's due out, hopefully, the beginning of this next year.
All right. Let's start with the anthology. What did you write in that?
Well, I wrote a short piece for them there that focuses mainly on one family and their struggles to try and get into the Fortress City. They actually came in from one of the more rural states, portions of the CS Missouri. And
I figured you wouldn't say CS Missouri.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, since that's where I'm from, I know it well enough to be somewhat faithful to the setting and that kind of thing, and as to how people speak and just kind of their general behaviors, their values, that kind of stuff. And I figure it probably wouldn't have changed, you know, that much, even in 300-400 years. So, no, they come into the burbs and kind of meet some resistance and whatnot, as is typical of people coming in to try and get citizenship, and it's kind of their fight to get in, and they run into some problems as far as with the father signing up for military service to better their chances, and there's a situation that happens with that, but I don't want to give everything away about the story. I want people to actually go out and, you know, buy multiple copies for them, their friends, and whoever else will read it. But, you know, I really tried to make it something that, even if you weren't necessarily the most knowledgeable about the setting or a fan of Risk or anything like that, it's a good story. It's a satisfying read, hopefully. And it's it'll hopefully also shine a light that, yeah, this is a crazy sci-fi magic setting with all this stuff going on, but there's still those subtle nuances, the human element that is still going to have kind of the same, you know, trials and tribulations and triumphs and joys that we have even today. So.
Okay. I don't want to leave that one alone, but I do want to ask you a couple other questions first, and we'll get back to the anthology in a minute. You said you were working on a Nightbane supplement. Can you talk a little bit about that?
We can talk a little bit about that.
What can you tell us about it?
Well, I can tell you that we really set out to try and go back to the roots of Nightbane, back to, you know, what it was all about. I think maybe with the last book, Shadows of Light, there's been a little, kind of hesitate to call it controversy about the book.
Dissension, perhaps?
But yeah, there's definitely a massive difference in opinion between the fans as to whether it was a good book and whether it wasn't, that kind of thing. I personally think there was good material in Shadows of Light, but that maybe it wasn't necessarily the best book for the setting at that point in time. So what we tried to do with this one is really go back and take focus almost solely on the Nightbane themselves, what it was like to be a Nightbane, how they survived on the streets, what were some of the tactics that the Night Lords used to hunt them. We did some material on how the factions recruit new members, and also, you know, a little bit more stuff with the mythos, different theories of, you know, what the Nightbane really are, where they come from. We definitely don't give away any of the secrets. We just drop hints, I guess you would say, and leave it for people to kind of, at least for now, come up with their own, you know, what they think is really going on.
How many new character classes?
Actually, none.
Wow.
Not a single new real character class, per se. Again, there's some stuff in there that might deal with some variation on the characters and whatnot. Let's see.
What's the one thing that you hope won't be cut?
Oh man, that's tough. You know, it's always hard whenever you write a book, you kind of look at it and you pour effort into everything. You know, I really set out to do everything well and make everything contribute to that project. You know, some material may end up being a little bit weaker than the rest of it, which, you know, may be a factor in Kevin's decision, you know, to whether or not to cut something. So I really can't say there's any one section of the book that I hope isn't cut, but I know I'm very realistic about the fact that there is going to be material that isn't going to see print, and as to whether it gets printed in another book or maybe in a rifter or as a PDF file or you know, maybe doesn't even see the light of day ever, you know, I don't know. See.
And you're co-writing this with another author?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I teamed up with this project with the fantastic, fantastic writer, Irvin L. Jackson. He and I met at the first open house and got to trading ideas back and forth, and really we're almost completing each other's sentences right off the bat. So we had a creative synergy that just got going, and so we stayed in contact and talked to Kev, and he liked our ideas when, you know, we pitched them to him and effectively told us, you know, write it up and let's see what happens. So I'm really excited to be working with him. He's been a journalist for years and years, and I'm sure eventually you're going to have to get him on the show so you can get his take on things. You know, he might tell you that that Mark Overly guy's just, you know, a pain to work with.
I'm pretty sure that's what he's going to say, actually. But.
Yeah. But no, he was absolutely amazing to work with. He is such a talented individual. He regularly amazes me with the stuff comes up with. So it really, you know, it was no sweat for me working with him, and he knows kind of what it takes to get something written. And his other half, I guess you might call her, Ray, is actually a professional proofreader who helped us out on the book and made sure that it was polished and whatnot whenever it was sent in. So I appreciate her work, you know, her effort. She was a real trooper and dealt with both Irvin and I. So
you have experience writing a Palladium supplement.
Yeah.
Maybe not through the whole process, but certainly a good portion of it.
So far, yeah.
Experience with that, experience writing Rifter articles, and now experience writing fiction. Talk about the differences between those mediums.
Oh, man. It really...
It's a Sunday Gen Con question, isn't it?
Yeah, as I'm beat to death from working this place. By the way, Kev works us all like, you know, just a harsh taskmaster, cracks the whip, you know. I'm going to have scars for the rest of my life. Love you, Kev. But, no, actually, there is a great deal of difference. And even the Richter articles, I've only had experience writing stuff for the swimsuit edition, which, you know, a lot of people may not think is the most glorious thing in the world. But, you know, it's fun, and it's a very different take on the creative process, because the way it normally works, I'm sure you found out from other people you've interviewed, is that normally we write something and then Kevin, you know, takes it and says, okay, you know Apollo or Ramon or Scott, one of the guys.
Bradshaw.
Yeah, Bradshaw, absolutely. I gotta throw, you
gotta
know,
have more Bradshaw.
And you know, the inhuman Chuck Walton, you know, that he sends it to them and says, you know, hey, I want you to draw this for this piece that's been written. Whereas the swimsuit edition is the artists do a piece or multiple pieces, and, you know, in the case of crazy people like Mike Muma. Then we get those pieces and are told, you know, make this a character, flesh them out, you know, give them stats and history and make them fun and interesting. So it's kind of different there. I haven't actually written, you know, submitted anything other than that for the Rifter, but those are actually fairly easy for me because they're only like a few pages a piece.
Sure. But 1,000 words, 1,500 words?
I'm trying to think. I know I was told 1,500 to 3,000, but I think my first piece went over to like 3,500 or more, which I'm sure Wayne absolutely loved me for, but they printed it all as it was written. So, I'm kind of was proud of that. But
X's and O's to Wayne then, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, I told Wayne not too long ago that he made me promise that I could say nothing but nice things, so that's kind of how I got in there. No, that wasn't how it worked.
And I'm very much looking forward to interviewing you, Wayne. Right after you read my Rifter article, you...
Yeah, it's fun. But, so those are fairly low stress.
Good.
And, you know, even though it would work a little bit better if they gave us a little bit more time before they said, hey, here's the art, because, you know, those slacker artists are late getting it in, and then we get, like, you know, a week and a half to write it up. But, no, it's actually not too bad. We get it done, and it's a fun time, but it's a monumentally different thing than, say, writing... Even the short story. The short story, I think, ended up being about 19 pages in print, 18, 19 pages, somewhere in there. And lucky for me, I got the double dip. I wrote it for a creative writing class that I was in at my university at the time. So I got to have them critique it for me and whatnot. They kind of were my sounding board and that kind of thing. Helped me out a little bit with it, editing and that kind of thing. So, but it was interesting. I've always kind of had story ideas floating around in my head, but that's why, you know, role-playing games were kind of something that appealed to me, is I never had the patience or the wherewithal to sit down and kind of get myself through even an entire short story.
Right.
So I could write campaigns, and they would work really well because, you know, I could write, you know, a couple, few-hour stints and wait for a week and, you know, have that time to think about what I was going to do next. So with the short story, kind of had to construct it from beginning to end. But even kind of getting the ideas and whatnot, it evolved as I wrote it. But it was definitely a very interesting and rewarding experience. There's nothing quite like seeing your name on that cover.
On the cover too.
Yes, actually on the cover, unlike a lot of the other books. But no, it was good. I really hope people enjoy it, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback on it so far. So,
cool.
But then the source book. The source book, it was kind of the next step up in difficulty. Even though I think I'd gotten it done before I started on the short story. There's a lot of stuff that you really, really have to take careful consideration whenever you do source material. Because whereas, you know, writing the prose and whatnot, I found that fairly easy comparatively. With stuff like stat block, you got to make sure stuff's consistent with not only internally with your book, but with the stuff that's been written before. You don't want to make it too powerful or, you know, too weak. And you want to make it fun and interesting. It can be tough, and it can take a while to kind of slug through, and it's definitely not as fun as writing, you know, the prose, because you don't get to see the results as soon. But after you get it done and you sit back and take a look at it, and you just gotta know that it's gotta be something that you, as a player, as a GM yourself, would want to play or want to, you know, roll up or whatever. You really want to make sure that it reaches out and grabs the player's attention, which, by the way, is secondhand advice, as this was the talk that Kev gave me as I was, you know, the new writer that he, you know, was on the phone with him for 2.5 hours, which I don't know if you know, but Kevin really likes to talk.
Yeah, try being the new podcaster.
Yeah.
Although I'm recording that, so, you know.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, is, you know, I actually skipped one of my college courses to finish out the conversation. But, you know, at the time, it was like, oh, my God, I'm on the phone with Kevin Sandita.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you're just starting out. You're not going to be like, no, Kev, I don't have time to talk to you. It's like, you want to talk to me? What?
Yeah.
You really want to make sure it's gonna be something that people want to pick up and want to play and are going to have fun with, or else, you know, what's the point of putting it in the book?
Yep.
So, but it can be tough, and just about any of the writers will tell you, you know, you'll hit a point where you're just sick of looking at stat blocks, and you're sick of coming up with statistics and numbers and whatnot. And, you know, it can get kind of tough, and, you know, there's that temptation there to just be like, you know what? I don't want to finish this. But then you just got to think that, you know, there's people out there that are going to want to read this and are going to have a lot of fun playing it, hopefully. And, you know, Kev wants to see it, and there's fans that want to see it, especially with Nightbane. I mean, there hasn't been a new source book in 5 years. And I tell you what, there's been several Nightbane fans that have come by this weekend alone and said, you know what, you know, it's awesome that, you know, you're writing new Nightbane material, because it really, you know, we want more stuff. We want to see it. So I only hope I can kind of live up to the bit of hype, I guess, that's kind of surrounded it in the mystery. And so, yeah, it's nerve-wracking, but exciting at the same time. So.
Anything else I didn't ask you that I should have pointed out?
I don't know. I'm sure I probably yacked your ear off. You're probably going to have to cut out half of me stammering through this conversation, but...
Oh, no. It was only, you know, 2 hours in the No, Mark, this is good. I think you, I'm interested to see how this Nightbane source book turns out. It kind of made me take a look at Nightbane to see kind of what it was.
Good deal.
Yeah, as I started off, you know, Robotech to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to Ritz, so I skewed the whole Nightbane thing entirely. So hopefully it'll breathe more lifeblood into the line and
absolutely
new players.
Yeah, because I know we've got a diehard, you know, at least a small-ish, compared to something like, you know, Rift, obviously. We've got a fairly small but diehard fan base system. I mean, you know, there are people that have come up to me and told me, you know, hey, you know, Nightbane is my absolute favorite game that's been put out by Palladium. You know, we really want to see more material for it. And, you know, I kind of really, really hope that I can live up to those people's expectations. Because I don't want to let them down. And I really want to make sure that new people can get into it and get excited about it and, you know, buy the main book and that kind of stuff and see what it's all about. And maybe, you know, go and have a lot of fun running a campaign or even just reading the material. So, yeah, it's, like I said, it's a bit nerve-wracking. I'm nervous, you know. I don't want people sending me hate mail or anything like that. But no.
You did tell me you were in the forums, so expect some PMs, right?
Oh, yeah, no. And for anybody that doesn't know, obviously I am Warwolf on the boards. People might get a little aggravated because I've kind of dropped hints and whatnot about the new material and kind of have been elusive and said, yeah, I know the people that are doing it, which isn't an outright lie. I do know the guys that are doing it. But I just didn't want to let anything out of the bag before I knew that the book was going to be put out because I didn't want fans to get their hopes up and just to be let down on it. So we'll see where it goes.
Cool.
So,
all right. Thank you, sir.
Hey, it's not a problem. Always a pleasure. So, you know, anytime you want to do this again, just let me know.
I always love talking with Mark. I think he's got a lot of really interesting things to say about Palladium. And he's kind of one of those guys where if I ever have a question about what's going on, I always go ask him because he's right there and he loves his stuff. You know, way more than I do, and so I always really appreciate talking to them. I had never really had any interest in Nightbane before I started talking to him about it, and now that he's kind of explained it to me, it's got me excited about it, and I'm really excited to play it. So again, I'm back for now. I really want to dedicate myself to putting out a show every 2 weeks until the open house. Anyway, thanks for putting up with me. I think I rambled a little bit more on this podcast than I normally do. I am still looking for an image. I'm still looking for, you know, a logo for the podcast. I'm still looking for audio fiction and for reviews because I think that will really make this podcast that much better. So anyway, with that being said, the next time somebody asks you how you know so much about supernatural shape changers, you can tell them you heard it as echoes from the rifts. Some of the music tonight was provided by the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com. This episode of the Echoes from the Rifts podcast is copyrighted Palladium Books Incorporated, all rights reserved. Megaverse, Palladium Books, Rifts, and other titles and names are registered trademarks of Palladium Books Incorporated and are used with their permission. Opinions expressed by the interviewer and the individual interviewed are not those of Palladium Books.